Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners. Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. I'm having a blast. I don't know about you. This is my gin and tonic for the day. This is it right here. My lady friend, I love her to death, Lee McGowan. She is the politics girl. So, Lee, we had fun the last time. And you and I, as we want to do, we just go on these rants and these screeds and we have fun and we cover a lot of topics, but we didn't get to.
Yeah.
Which you really wanted to, the 2024 presidential candidates for the Republican National Party. So let's get into it a little bit and get your take. And I'll share a few thoughts along the way, because I know you're interested.
Well, you know, it's so funny because you guys, the podcast I'm on with Michael, I had Michael on my podcast, the Politics Girl podcast. So you can already listen to that. This is kind of part two of that conversation. Right. But the two of us were really keen on this stuff. And I'd had him on. I was like, we're going to talk about the candidates. And then we just got too chatty about America. We never actually got to the candidates, which, you know, ultimately we said makes sense because it's hard to defeat Trump as the nominee. He's the nominee. So why are we even talking about any of these other candidates? But ultimately, you know, we do have to discuss them on some level, even just to say, like, what does the Republican Party represent now? You know, every sort of aspect of it is represented here.
And that's exactly it. What do they represent now? So at the top, and I just don't even, I think it's very clear how we feel about Trump. So I'm not even going there. Let's just say, from my position, if anyone is ready to become the nominee of the party, then take him out. Until you show me you can do that. But we'll have fun. So, Ron DeSantis.
Well, as I said to you on my show, Ron is just a god-awful candidate, right? I mean, he's terrible. He's a terrible leader. He's a terrible man. And he's just an awful, awful candidate. I think the billionaire sort of donor class of your party wanted to support him because he was, as I said to you before, you know, Trump through a car wash. Those are Rick Wilson's words, right? But ultimately, same thing. Ron's somebody's puppet. He's somebody's puppet. He's a billionaire's puppet. He's his wife's puppet. You know, he's without personality. He's a bully. He's a coward. And he just doesn't have it, right? And I think we also just have to look at how well the country's doing right now. Like, Joe Biden's economy is doing great. And Florida's economy is the new inflation hotspot in the US, right? Do people really want to scale up that operation? Do they really want to scale up the operation of LGBTQ people going to the hospital and being turned away? Do they really want to scale up the operation of women bleeding out in parking lots because they can't get the medical care they need? Do they really want to scale up not teaching African-American history? Do they really want to scale up what Ron DeSantis is doing to Florida, which honestly is pretty awful? And I think that in its own right is like, what are we even doing here? The man is absolutely a dictator wannabe.
And you put your finger on a very important aspect of his campaign. I had this conversation last night at an event here in town with some of the folks I was chatting with. And I noted that the interesting thing about DeSantis and really kind of the media's sort of shock at just how much he's failing and flailing about is the fact that he is not a creature of the base. He is a creature of the donors. And that's the difference. They're the ones who wanted him. You didn't hear MAGA Republicans or even mainstream Republicans for that matter running and falling all over themselves to put him out in front ahead of Trump. They did not. They will not. And the reality of it is he is a creature of those donors who are now like Murdoch and others having second thoughts about the investment that they started to make, watching that investment basically pile up in the corner of the room, and beginning to smell like stuff that piles up in the corner of the room.
Yeah, they should have invested in Casey. She's the powerhouse there, baby. She's the one that wants
it. Well, there is that. Tim Scott, South Carolina.
Senator. All right. Tim Scott is an interesting choice because he's connected to Larry Ellison and the Koch network. So he's got kind of that same donor backgroundy thing. Right. And he gives any sort of racist Republican a way to say, here's my black guy. Like, you know, but as a man, I feel like he's bought and paid for. I mean, I think all these candidates kind of are, but this guy just seems a little bit more gross because he panders to people who really hate him. And I find that deeply unfortunate. And at the end of the day, I don't see the current Republican Party actively embracing white Christian supremacy, voting for a black man for president. I mean, do you? Because in
especially one who's not married. So yeah.
And in many ways,
kind of
what we're seeing right now is a reaction.
The whole family values conversation.
Yeah. Well, this is true. This is also true.
But the race thing for me is a particular sticky point. I of course know Tim very well and was very proud and excited and happy to work with him and his team in 2010 to get him elected to Congress. Same with the next person we'll talk about, Nikki Haley. But the problem I have is you can't tell me that, you know, push back on people saying who have concerns about the racism in America and then in the next breath complain about being racially profiled by police on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
And so either that America exists or it doesn't.
Right.
So you either got racially profiled or you didn't.
Right.
And if you did, then there's racism behind and beneath and within and between all of that. So I think that sort of to your point about trying to placate and play to a white conservative base that has elected him in every election, does not translate nationally when you run into a black community where they're mourning the loss of a young black man who just had an encounter with the local police, or a black couple that did not get the loan for the house because they didn't, quote, qualify, and neighborhoods that are disintegrating because they've been redlined by white majority-owned banks. So the reality of it is you've got to address those truths for those communities. And if you don't, I don't know how that translates. Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina.
Yeah, if I just made with Tim Scott, he also isn't resonating with people like me. I mean, I'm the white community and I don't think he's acknowledging what is actually going on. We actually we've built a country around racism. And if we don't acknowledge that, we'll never be able to move anywhere past it. And, those policies don't necessarily affect me the same way it would affect the black community. And I'm well aware of that, but we need to talk about that. I think that's essential. Mm-hmm. And if he's not going to do that, then he's missing the moment. Nikki Haley's such a disappointment to me. I mean, theoretically, she's this powerful woman. I love to see women in power. She's executive. She's got foreign policy experience. She's worked in a presidential administration. She has a sense of that. But to me, she just feels like such an empty vessel, you know, mm-hmm. that she'll kind of do or say whatever it takes to move ahead. And she ultimately just sort of stands for nothing. And I don't trust her. And I'll probably honestly never get over the $52,000 she spent on drapes for an apartment she was going to live in for like a year. I just, you know, if you go back to being like a mother, I'm like,
right.
Nikki,
that's
was irresponsible.
Your mom calls you.
Yeah, I'm like, Nikki, no.
What did you just spent what?
On what? When you were cutting $350 million from peacekeeping at the UN? I don't think so. You know, like, no. Impractical. And I want to support powerful women doing their thing. I really do. But
yeah,
she's a disappointment to me.
Former Vice President Mike Pence.
Oh, I don't think Mike Pence has a chance. I actually don't even know what he's doing, right? Like, why would he put himself through this? I mean, I appreciate that he is finally speaking up and saying that the vice president has no right to pick the winner of the election, because my God, if the vice president had the ability to do that, wouldn't have Al Gore chosen himself?
Yeah, would have made it right? A lot
like
easier
it makes
for
no
him.
Sense. That makes no sense. But it all feels like 2 years too late. He's also very limited in the personality department, and I don't think he has a leg to stand on with the Trump people, right? They hate him. They wanted to hang him, and it's hard to come back from that.
That's to me is a central point. To go back to Nikki Haley for a moment. The defining moment for me was the way she handled the Confederate flag issue. And then that's all since been redefined by the way she's handled her presidential run. Mm-hmm. That old Nikki Haley, that was someone I helped get elected, who stood in the face of racism and segregation and Confederacy and said no, then goes on and placates a guy who says they're fine people on both sides. I just have a problem with that. Mike Pence, the bottom line for me on Mike Pence is they wanted to kill you, dude. So, okay.
Moving on.
Yeah, Chris Christie.
Well, Chris Christie is, I think he's the most interesting to me because he's actually taking a stand against Trump, right?
Right.
He's the only one, and I know you love this word, but with the cojones, right? He's the
right.
only one who is being honest about Trump and taking him on directly. And the rest of the group just kind of feel like side dishes around the Trump main course. And at least Christie's offering us a different meal, right? But I'm pretty sure whoever wins is going to have to promise Trump a pardon if he's going to let them move forward. Right. And Christie's been pretty sure that he's
yes.
not going to do that. But I, you know, like I'm like, but you know, Christie's saying, oh, I would never do such a thing, but I'm like, yeah, he probably would. At the end of the day, Chris Christie does what's best with Chris Christie, right? Like whether that's shutting down a bridge or shutting down a beach, you know, like he helped grab him by the pussy, you know, with the debate prep, right?
Yep.
Like he got COVID because of it. Like he might be critical of Trump now, and I'm totally here for it. Like, don't get me wrong. But he started off his book tour defending Trump, and now he realizes he might have a better shot at winning the presidency if he's criticizing him. So although I like it, it's disingenuous. But I do appreciate hearing at least one person in the leadership position of this party speaking the truth. But it doesn't really make me trust him as a leader. And if I'm being honest, like, does the GOP base even want to hear the truth? I mean, can you win by
being
honest?
They don't. It kind of goes back to the Tim Scott conundrum in that he's singing Reaganism and Kumbaya, and the party is like, dude, I just want to burn things and kill people.
Yes, exactly.
I don't understand.
Jesus, turn the wheel, DNC. Like, do right. not see it.
I just don't. North Dakota Governor Doug Bergman.
Okay, well, listen, Doug Burgum, Perry Johnson, Ryan Binkley, they're all kind of this same take on like businessman, religious man that end up kind of being like nothings to me in this race.
Right.
I mean, do you have a different take on that?
No, I think you nailed it, and I had no comment at all on any of that.
Honestly, I it's
but
also
I had that. I wanted to, you just lumped you. I didn't even. I mean, let's just Burgum for all of that.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm pretty sick of rich people running for vanity projects because they can pay for it themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I really wish we could just get money out of politics because then we could actually listen to the candidates' ideas and assess their morals rather than measuring their wallets. But you know, here we are.
Will Hurd.
I like Will Hurd. Right. I don't mind Will Hurd. I mean, I wouldn't vote for him because I'm a liberal, but his experience as a CIA officer, his time as a congressman, he lived in a border district, so he kind of gets that national security immigration thing. But there's no way this guy wins the primary, especially since
I think Will now creates an interesting opportunity for the party, should they pivot off of Trump.
Yeah.
To have
him and Asa,
like Will Hurd, have a Will Hurd on the ticket.
Right.
I think substantively he lands a little bit better than Tim Scott, a lot better than Tim Scott, actually.
A lot better.
And I think Will is one of those guys I'm looking at less in 24 and more in 28 as being sort of an interesting bird that will develop some real wings and fly. Governor Asa Hutchinson, whom I have deep admiration for, having worked with him in the past at the RNC and even before that, he is the quintessential Don Quixote candidate. But I don't see him so much chasing at windmills as I see him trying to point out that there are windmills and that you better be careful when you run into one.
Right. I mean, listen, to me, Asa Hutchinson is the one that makes me the least anxious, right? He's the one that feels the most like a classic Republican choice.
He is. He is a classic Republican
choice. Yeah, he's, you know, he was U.S. attorney. He was a congressman. I don't love that he was Bill Clinton's impeachment manager, right? But
right.
He worked for the DEA. He was the governor of Arkansas. I feel like he's the kind of guy that could come up from behind as a real Republican candidate. And I like the idea that he's at least expressed some unease with the way the GOP is going. And I feel like someone like him might have a real chance in a general election. But again, he'd have to win the primary, right? Yeah. And despite the fact that I'm sure a lot of people would love to go back to the conservatism of the 90s, that's just not where your party is right now.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, speaking of measuring your wallet, right? I mean, oh, okay. Look, Vivek wouldn't be running unless he was rich, right? And again, I am so over people's entire platform being, I'm a rich dude. And also I'm anti-woke, right? Anti-woke means nothing. We wouldn't even be listening to this guy if he wasn't buying himself airtime on TV. He's running in third place right now, you know, like above Pence, above Haley, above Scott and Chris. Like that's nuts to me. Who is this guy? But also like, who cares? Because it won't be him, right? Like, so if your whole deal is being anti-woke, I'm not sure how you're supposed to beat DeSantis, who, you know, but like,
who's the king of woke?
Who's the king of woke? You know, like that's where woke goes to die. Blah. You know, like, I don't know what we're doing here. And I'm so sick of these dudes buying themselves respectability when it doesn't belong on their shoulders.
So last one is the good mayor of Miami, Francis Suarez. He's another one. I've had the fortune of meeting him and chatting with him over time. I like him a lot. When I put my chairman's hat on, I look at a guy like him and go, okay, yeah, we could polish this. We do a little refining there. The messaging could be tight. Boom, boom, boom. He's a player. I see him again as another 28 prospect positioning today for that, as opposed to really kind of doing the, make me the nominee in 24.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting. Suarez is interesting because I like that he tried to help people not get COVID as mayor of Miami, right? And that put him in DeSantis's crosshairs and again in the base's crosshairs. So I'm like, okay. But like, I don't feel like this guy's running to win. I think he's running to raise money and put it in his pockets. Like the whole thing feels a little money laundering to me. And I'm glad if you don't think that. He doesn't seem to have a clue on international issues. So if you want to be the president,
he's going to need
a lot of polishing. I mean, that's a lot of polishing. But even Hugh Hewitt was like, dude, like, you don't know who the Uyghurs are? Like, you know?
Yeah. Well, there was that moment. That's what I was saying. It's like, you kind of look at it. Yeah, okay. We need to
get polishing,
yeah? Quick.
We'll talk about him in 4 years.
So,
but here's the thing. We will only talk about these potential candidates in 4 years if Trump doesn't win in 24, right? Because if Trump wins in 24, we're not looking at an election in 28. It's certainly
There will be no election in 28.
No. So like, let's not pretend, right? Yeah. Like look with clear eyes and no wool on them at what happens if Trump does get reelected, right? He and his allies are incredibly clear that their goal is to consolidate power around the president and limit the power of anyone that could hold him back, right? It is terrifying. And if we don't get together, left, right, centrist, whoever, and realize that this is a real moment where we really are deciding between an autocratic Hungarian, Russian type government or an American democracy that has problems and needs work, That's the choice. It's not between Biden and Trump.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Is it just me, or have we all lost our minds? It's a question more and more people are asking themselves, afraid to admit they already know the answer. It's also a podcast, one about people coming together in a time of division and uncertainty to talk about culture and politics, compromise and connections. It's about challenging the norms we've come to accept as a society and working together to find common ground. Fierce and Unfiltered, host Jennifer Horn is a former Republican strategist and party leader turned independent sanity activist. One way or another, we've all lost our minds. Join Jennifer Horn in the search to find them again.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.